Hello, I'm Dr. Barbara Byers. Welcome back to my podcast. Today I'm going to talk about, is faith enough? Is faith enough? I was recently reading in 2 Peter 1, and it really caught my attention because Peter says something there that we should add to our faith. So I want to talk about that. Let's dig in to do a little Bible study today. 2 Peter 1. Verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he starts off right away saying he wants us to grow more deeply in knowing him. His divine power, meaning God's empowering grace and God's initiative. This is God's action, not just ours. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. I hope you believe that he really has granted us what we need, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's a lot. Let's unpack that for a minute. So I believe Peter's saying God's given us what we need, his presence, his divine power to live a truly good and godly life. And the more we know him, the greater the glory we'll experience and the greater the goodness that we'll see and will be seen in us. We participate with him. We have a shared life with him. This isn't just God's initiative, and it isn't just our initiative. We both have a part in this. And as we live in him moment by moment, we can live the kind of life that Peter's talking about. And we also can escape what is inevitable in the world, this sort of diminishment and disintegration we see in the world. We can live above that. Then he goes on in verse 5, for this very reason. Well, what reason is that? Well, Peter has just told us all that's available to us in Christ. So he's going to call us to a response. And let's see what that response is. For this very reason, make every effort. All right, this is our part. He's saying, be diligent, be earnest, apply real moral exertion. Set your face a certain direction. Make every effort to add to your faith. Now, if we're talking about salvation, we know we don't add to that. That is through grace by faith. But he's talking about our sanctification, our ongoing growth in the Christian life. And he's saying, you know, just faith, the faith of salvation isn't enough. We're going to have to add to that. We keep growing, and he's going to talk about seven things we grow in. Add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, so there's a trajectory, there's a growth in this. He's not giving us a methodology, but he's saying, here's what you keep adding, and here's how you find real growth. They will keep you, and this is a promise, from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we increase in these seven things he's talking about, when they accompany one another and accompany our faith, we're increasing in our aliveness and our effectiveness in the kingdom and in our fruitfulness in knowing God. And then he says, but whoever doesn't have them, these seven qualities, is nearsighted and blind. That's pretty strong. Forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins, so they no longer have this remembrance and deep gratitude that they have been cleansed and redeemed. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort. He's using this same strong language again, urging us toward exertion and diligence to confirm your calling and election. Okay, he's chosen us, but we can confirm that by these character qualities that we develop in our life. It's an indication of our calling, of our choosing. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So our union with Jesus, our shared participation with him and his life makes this possible. And it is not easy, and it is not automatic, but as we apply ourselves to it, God comes in and begins to break through the hardness of our heart, and we begin to see new things etched into our character, and they're etched in one choice at a time, sometimes little choices, sometimes big choices. And if we'll ask him, he will shine his light on all the places where we need to grow. And that gives us the opportunity to take in the truth, to repent and receive his grace. This isn't an experience. It isn't an emotion. What this is living with Christ, living really an exchanged life. We're exchanging our natural life for his supernatural life. We're exchanging our weakness for his goodness, our impatience for his perseverance, and so on. And in this exchange, we recognize he lives in me. And as I act on that, I move forward with a steady faith to accept the grace that he gives me. And as I choose that, I begin to see change. It's kind of like going to the gym. Man, the first week you go to the gym, you won't see much change. You'll just be really sore. But give it a year, and you should see some real transformation in your body. So let's look at these seven briefly. He says, add to your faith. So that the Greek word is epikorigio. I don't know if I pronounced that right. It really means to support, to provide at one's own expense, really, to supply, to furnish. Robertson translates it, adding on your part. So it's something we're furnishing at our own expense. First thing is goodness, and I'm going to be brief with these. Goodness is simply excellence of character, especially excellence in a social context, excellence toward others. It includes integrity, it includes goodness. And it's God's call for us to move out of our character flaws, out of our weakness, into his own goodness, his own excellence of character. Second is knowledge. This isn't, you know, cognitive. This is a knowledge deep inside of God's ways, of God's word. And we increase in that as we move out of our childishness into adult ways of knowing and growing. The third one is self-control. Self-control is all about restraint, restraining, moderating, taking charge of our own impulses and passions and desires. It's self-mastery. It's one of the things we provide at our own expense. If you've ever tried to fast for any length of time, you'll know that. Fourth is perseverance. It's defined as the capacity to hold out or bear up in the face of difficulty. It's patience, endurance, fortitude, and steadfastness. I really like that, steadfastness. We need to have a long view of the Christian life. It's a long obedience in the same direction. And the only way we're going to sustain that is by recognizing and living in the reality of the Holy Spirit. He lives in me. He sustains me. He's the one that makes my progress possible. Fifth is godliness. Yeah, godliness is the awesome honor accorded to God. It's expressed in our devoutness. So it includes a healthy fear of God and a strong devotional life. You know, when we develop holy habits, spiritual disciplines, such as having a prayer time or memorizing scripture and so on, meditating on it, what we're really doing is giving space, giving scaffolding for the Lord to develop these things in us. Six, brotherly kindness. It's a mutual affection. It's the sort of affection we should feel for family members. We don't always, but we should. It's a familial kind of affection. And it's the kind of love we should have for one another in the body of Christ. You know, that we would just really do anything for one another. We weep with others. We laugh with others. 1 John 3:10 in the Message says, the one who won't practice righteous ways isn't from God. nor is the one who won't love brother or sister. It's a pretty good indicator. And the last one is love, agape love. It's the quality of warm regard for and interest in another. We should be so interested in one another's welfare. It's esteem, affection, love, which gives without thought of what it will get back. It's the self-sacrifice that Jesus showed us. And this is what Jesus meant in John 13:35 when he said, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples, by your agape love for one another." And it's possible. It's possible because he first loved us, and he will fill us with that love if we ask him. And it's possible to transcend our jealousy and our selfishness, our self-centeredness, by taking in his life and reaching for the greater thing, loving one another. You know, our lifetime isn't to be spent learning to be religious. It's to be spent learning to be lovers, lovers of God, lovers of one another. So Dallas Willard, in commenting on this passage, said, "These progressions conclude with agape love. It's the center, the linchpin of it all. Colossians 3 has a wonderful progression of virtues that concludes, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Romans 5 also concludes the progression with the words, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So Peter names these seven, and why are they so important? Well, he says, not every Christian does, but if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, if you have set your intentions and your energies and your devotion toward this, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. In other words, they will make you effective and productive in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this phrase, increasing measure, it just means it just becomes more and more and more until there's real abundance. Don't you want to have a real abundance of goodness in your life and perseverance and love? So this growth in the Spirit, in the fruits of the Spirit, is something that increases and expands in our life as we surrender to the Lord and apply ourselves to these things. His goal for us is to be effective and productive. And when he says ineffective, he's really talking, it could be translated barren or idle or lazy. And sometimes we just get spiritually lazy and sort of passively resist spiritual formation, the thing that we ought to be giving ourselves to in Christian maturity. So then he just kind of concludes with, "Therefore, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure." Sure means stable, means firm, permanent, reliable. When we grow and demonstrate the character of Jesus and the fruit of Jesus, it is a sure indicator of our chosenness and our calling. And Peter makes this twofold promise to those who diligently open their lives to God's work and God's character building: the assurance of salvation and protection from stumbling and losing our footing, and a rich welcome in heaven upon death. That's quite a promise. So he said, if we make these qualities abundant in us, we're not going to stumble around. We're going to understand that we have taken this gift of faith seriously. So I want to close by just blessing you again with this scripture passage. May you add, support your faith with goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1:11, this blessing, may our God make you worthy of his calling, and by his power may he bring to full fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. I hope you'll pick up your Bible and really take another look at 2 Peter, and I hope you'll join me next time. Thanks for listening.